Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor at the Living Savior Ministries. He is going to be teaching today the principles from God's Word on how to get healed and how to stay healed. We join today's message, Battle is in the Mind, Already in Progress.
Then it's my job to tell them about Jesus. I thought, oh goodness, I thought it was difficult talking to the man that was sitting beside me that already knew Jesus. What's it going to be like now to talk to somebody that don't know? Oh, I got up that morning, Monday morning, and I was an engineering instructor, and I was teaching systems on Lockheed Electra. So I put that little button on my jacket, and I walked in thinking, oh God, please don't let nobody ask me about this button. Some of you may think, Thurman, I don't believe you ever was that way. Let me tell you, I was. I wasn't bold like I am today, that's for sure. So anyway, I walked in every day with that button on my shirt in agony thinking, somebody's going to ask me. We go through all week, Monday through Friday, and nobody all week long asked me about my button. I'm standing up in front of 30 engineers talking to them about a Lockheed Electra, about the airplane, or about aviation stuff. And nobody asked me a question. So we come Friday afternoon, we get ready for the test, about 25, 30 guys in the room. And I said, okay, we're going to take the test now. I said, we've been reviewing. I said, is there any last questions before we take the test? Y'all all know what happened, don't you? I said, yes, sir. What's your question? He said, that little button you've been wearing on your shirt all week. Oh, my Lord, he couldn't have done it by himself. He had to ask before the whole class. So I said, yes, that's to remind me to tell you about the best thing that ever happened to me. He said, what was it? I said, that's when I got saved and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? No, I do not. I don't know how to do that. So I got to share Christ with that man and lead him to Jesus in that office there with all those other guys. And let me tell you what, those men, they work for Braniff, I work for Braniff. Every once in a while, I'll still run into one of those men somewhere. This had been years ago. I'll still run into one of those men, and guess what they all remember about me? That's what they remember, that day I told them about Jesus. They don't remember nothing about the airplane. They don't remember nothing about engineering, but they do remember that little button and about me leading that man into Christ. So I think that's almost as good as the day that the Lord spoke to me about Ed Brock. I'd been out of town on a trip. The Lord's training me to do and to know how these things work. So anyways, I come in from an out-of-town trip. My wife tells me, she says, I think you ought to go down to see Ed. Said he's in a hospital in Louisville. And said, I think he had surgery today, and I don't think he had a very good report. And I said, okay, so I'll be happy. I was a deacon, so I got in my truck and drove back down there. And I found his room, and I went to the door, knocked on it, and his little wife, Ruthie, come to the door. And I said, Ruthie, how's Ed? And she said, Thurman, he's not any good at all. So they opened him up today and looked inside of him. He has stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer in every organ in his body. There's no hope. 42 years old. Is that the report you want to hear at 42? Now, I'm a Southern Baptist, and I had only heard God's audible voice 2 times before this. And all of a sudden, I hear the Lord speak to me, and I hear it audible. I mean, it's just like I'm hearing my own voice right now. And he says, son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him, and I will heal him. Now, that's written in the Word of God just to show you some of the things that when the Lord says for me to call the men, have Ed call the men of the church to pray over him, and he'll heal him. When you go to Mark 16, 17, and 18, it makes a statement about what you and me can do as Christians. And I didn't believe this stuff, but it clearly says there. What does it say there? And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Let me ask you a question. If you're like I was back in those days and you didn't know that was in God's word, do you think you could make it work for you? No, you got to know. You got to know and you got to believe. Now, I don't know why the Baptist church never taught me these things, but they didn't. In fact, I was listening to a man on TBN just yesterday, and he taught down in Mark 16, 2, verse 15, and he stopped where it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But when it comes to, and these signs shall follow them that believe, he didn't talk about that at all. And I thought, wonder why he left that out. I mean, it's in there. It's your power. So anyway, as I turned to walk away after I prayed with her about her husband, which I had just been told, he's terminal. As she tells me he's terminal, to tell you where I am and where my faith is, as I walk down the corridor, I look up and I say, Lord, she said he has terminal cancer and there's no hope. But I just heard God tell me that if I'd have him call for the elders of the church and pray over him, that he would heal him. Now, which one are you going to believe? I mean, you hear God. I mean, if God tells you to do something, and there's a scripture in his word that confirms what he's telling you, don't you think we should do it? I think we should. But nobody had ever taught me, so I didn't know. But anyway, the more I meditated on what I heard, the more I thought, well, I cannot possibly let Ed die. I had no idea what God was leading me into. I had no idea that in 20, 25 years from now, from that day, that I would be standing here before you teaching a healing school and have seen thousands of people healed, men and women and children. I would never have dreamed that, never. I went home and I meditated on that and I said, Lord, I'm going to look up healing. See, I didn't know none of these healing verses were in the Bible as a Southern Baptist. So I looked up, I found that Mark 16, 17, and 18, where it says, these signs shall follow those that believe. We shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He left me a real hard thing to do, didn't he? How hard is that? Lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. Gee, that didn't sound very hard at all, did it? That's the simplicity that God gives us, his children. He don't expect us to have to know much. We don't have to be a rocket scientist. We don't have to be a PhD to read that and know how to do that, do we, brother? No. And then it's up to him. But I didn't know none of these things. And so then I come up on another scripture, a healing verse. It's in James 5, 14, 15. And I want you to see this. James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. This is in our Bible, the one we carry to church every Sunday, the one we read and study out of. But if you're like I was back in those days, nobody had ever told me about healing. I didn't have a clue. I knew God could heal. I knew God could do anything he wanted to do. I knew he created the heavens and the earth. But I didn't know he'd given me this power to do this. I just didn't know it. But look what he says. Is there any sick among you? Is that what he says? Is there any sick among you? In other words, think about what he just said. Is there any sick among you? You would think the way he's talking, there shouldn't be any sick among us, right? That's right. There should not be sick people. We should be well. The church, we should know that he bore our sickness and removed our disease. And when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we should know we are not only redeemed from sin, but we're redeemed from the curse. But it took me 30 years to figure out I was redeemed from the curse. Why? Because it was not in the Southern Baptist Quarterly. Nobody ever taught on it. I never heard it taught in another Bible study class because we all studied out of the same set of books. And it wasn't the Bible. It was a quarterly. Has anybody in here besides me ever been a Baptist? Okay, so there's a whole bunch of you been a Baptist. You remember the Southern Baptist Quarterlies? So we taught out of a little quarterly. And, you know, we didn't learn anything. Or I didn't. You know, I mean, I'd been a Christian for 20 years. I bet I didn't have three verses committed to memory. Oh, I had one. Let's see, what was that one, that favorite one? For something like, for God so loved the world. I think I had that one down fairly good, not too good. But I certainly didn't have none of these others down. So anyway, when I'm reading and studying the scripture, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him and anoint him with oil. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. What do you do with a magnificent verse like that? You use it, right? In other words, any of you that are in here sick today with any kind of a problem, if you don't have a verse to lock on to, you need to take notes in this session. And you need to remember that last group, Mark 16, 17, and 18 we talked about. And now we're at James 5, 14, and 15. Let's go just a little bit further here in this verse. Let me show you something. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So instead of saying, and if he has committed sins, it would be better to go back and look it up again, but I believe it said that the sins you have committed, they shall be forgiven you. Let's look at the next verse, 16, and let me show you something here. Look at what this says. The next verse says, in other words, if you have sin, which I believe there's always a sin associated with sickness, but verse 16 says, so confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. You see there, that right, 16 is right after 15, and if the case was true where if we had sin, then we shouldn't be able to put 16 in there because it says, confess your faults. That means you have got to have had a sin. Is that right? In other words, you've got to have had a sin if you have to confess your sin. So verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and then pray one for another that you may be healed. Then it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now this is one of the places here where the other two boys talked about being the righteousness of God in Christ. In this case right here, this is where you really need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. If you know that, then you can pray this prayer of faith. If you don't, you can't. Verse 17, let's go to the next verse. 17 says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth, but the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18. Then he says, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, verse 19 and 20 is the important ones. He says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth. In other words, what would that mean if you err from the truth? What is the truth? The truth is God's word. So if one of us err from the truth, and so let's say like one of the examples they used, if you're lying, does God hate liars? Yes, God says absolutely you're not to lie. So let's say that you have lied to somebody and that you have erred from the truth and it brings sickness and disease on your body and now you get sick. Or let's say you committed adultery with someone, you know, fornication, you know, you got angry, bitter. I mean, there's any number of things that you can do that will cause you to err from the truth. In other words, the truth of God's word is you and me to walk holy and obedient to his word day after day, being led by the Spirit of God, knowing that we're sons of God. And when you do that, I guarantee you won't live in sin.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Battle is in the Mind, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teaching online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.